Live from NPR News, I'm Janine Herbst. COVID cases are rising nearly everywhere in the U.S., driven by the twice as contagious Delta strain. NPR's Amy Held reports some places are reimposing restrictions, including mask mandates, to beat back the surge.
More than a third of counties across the U.S. are experiencing high levels of community transmission, according to the CDC. In Louisiana, cases have jumped more than 200% in recent weeks. Dr. Vincent Shaw, a family and sports medicine physician in Baton Rouge, says vaccine hesitancy is a problem.
Sort of sets the clock back to where we were, you know, a year ago.
With fewer than 40% of residents vaccinated, Louisiana's governor is recommending masking up indoors. In Los Angeles County, it's again mandated. Same in St. Louis, Missouri, starting Monday. Meantime, the national surge is forecast to only accelerate. A group of researchers working with the CDC expects it will peak in October. Amy Held, NPR News.
Parts of central China remain underwater after record-setting rains last week. Authorities say at least 58 people were killed by flooding, but the death toll is expected to rise. NPR's Emily Fang has more.
On Tuesday, storms hit Zhengzhou, a city of 12 million, flooding roads and the city's subway. The storms then moved north, pouring more water on the city of Xinjiang. Residents in the north half of Xinjiang remain largely trapped. Water levels there are still about hip height in many places. Bulldozers carrying supplies and rescue personnel are now being diverted there.
NPR's Emily Fang reporting. Meanwhile, officials in western China have canceled airline flights and cargo ships have been ordered to leave the region as Typhoon Infa heads to the mainland. And in Belgium, new floods have again swamped areas southeast of the capital of Brussels today as a wave of thunderstorms and heavy rain hits the country. That area had already been hit by floods that left 36 people dead, 7 missing. The first athlete at the Tokyo Olympics has tested positive for the coronavirus after competing. NPR's Leila Fadel reports the vaccinated Dutch rower is the latest Olympian to leave the competition.
Finn Florian tested positive after his Olympic debut in the men's single sculls race. He was scheduled to row again today, but now he's out and isolated for 10 days. So far, at least 12 athletes have tested positive for the coronavirus, and it's raised alarm among others desperate to stay healthy and compete. Dutch skateboarder Candy Jacobs has been posting from isolation.
Just wanted to let you know that I'm doing good. My heart still hurts, but I'll definitely get through it.
A third Dutch athlete and a staff member of the rowing team have also tested positive. A statement from Team Netherlands say they believe the infections may have originated on their flight. The head of the Dutch team expressed devastation at the latest infection in a statement saying, "We have no words." Leila Fadel, NPR News, Tokyo.
And you're listening to NPR News. Tanzania has received 1 million doses of Johnson & Johnson COVID-19 vaccine donated by the U.S. government. As Ishma Fundikwa reports, the East African nation had been one of several African countries yet to receive any vaccines.
The donation will finally allow Tanzania to launch its COVID-19 vaccine rollout. The country's late leader, John Magufuli, who died in March, claimed prayer had defeated the pandemic. On the death of the 61-year-old Magufuli, a leading COVID-19 skeptic, his deputy, Samai Suluhu Hassan, became Tanzania's first female president. She has adopted a more conventional approach to the pandemic. Hassan recognizes the existence of COVID-19 and the threat it poses to her country and is pushing for the adoption of public health measures to prevent the spread of the virus. For NPR News, I am Ishma Fundikwa in Harare.
In California, a murderer dubbed the dating game killer has died while awaiting execution. 77-year-old Rodney James Alcala died of natural causes at a hospital. He was sentenced to death and on death row and sentenced in 2010 for killing 5 people between 1977 and 1979. But authorities think he actually killed up to 130 people across the country. Prosecutors say he stalked women like prey and took earrings from some as trophies. He was known as the dating game killer because he was a contestant on that TV show, although none of his victims had any connection to the show. I'm Janine Herbst, NPR News.